Hi, I'm Katie Page.
And I'm Paul Ashton.
And we made a comedy feature film called This Isn't Funny that Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro helped us produce.
Along with us, it stars Anthony LaPaglia, Eddie Gathegi, Mimi Rogers, David Pasquese, Gia Carides, and Danielle Panabaker.
And it features some hilarious stand-up comedy from Beth Stelling, Ahmed Barucha, Will Weldon,
and Katie. And you can stream the film right now in the U.S. store of iTunes, on Google Play, and at Amazon.
And if you like it, please tell your friends, share it, and rate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Strong enough. All right. It is very sad. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vampire Diaries AfterBuzz TV After Show for Season 7, Episode 6, Best Served Cold. I am your host, Tiana Hobson, and joining me tonight, I have Katie Campbell.
Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter at KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell.
And Sam Davidson.
Hey, guys. You can find me, Sam Davidson, on Twitter at SamD43.
And next to her, Jordana Morphin.
Hey, everyone. You guys can find me at Jordana_Morphin on Twitter.
And then there's someone sitting on our couch tonight, but I'm not sure if you guys would be excited to see or hear from this person because she's kind of lame and not really that important. Just kidding. We love her. Roxy Stryer is in the house.
Thank you guys for having me and letting me crash the party. I'm so excited.
Thank you for coming and being here with us. Yeah, so overall thoughts on tonight's episodes, guys? Or episode. I said it plural like we watched two.
It was intense. I feel like there was a lot going on.
I feel like I'm not going to know how I feel about it until tomorrow, to be honest. Yeah. It was a lot, and I feel like it's a bit of a different show than it used to be, which it's still amazing. It's the same writers. I love it, but it was like a lot of new stuff to take in.
I'm into it. I know that a lot of people were saying that Julian is going to be the next big bad, but I don't know if I really see the big bad with Julian.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think he's the scariest of the scaries. Maybe it's just because I knew I got to be on the panel with you guys tonight, but I love the episode. I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what Sam said because I think that tomorrow, I feel like most of the season, the next day, I understand what I watched a little bit better because there are so many moving parts. But I really did enjoy tonight's episode. So let's get into the nitty gritty of it. We're going to start off by talking about Alaric because his story is just so tragic to me because, I mean, he's such a sweet guy and he just wants his wife back, but sadly they brought back the wrong person, but she seems like a nice person, at least.
Yeah, Team Florence. I mean, for a while I was like, well, I mean, you know, she could just stay there.
But see, I always wanted them to use the stone because I understood where he was coming from and I feel so bad for him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think she was going to go this fast.
Remember we were talking about this last week. We were saying that maybe there could be a possibility that Alaric and Florence would get together or, you know, have like a friendship going on for a while. I didn't think they were just going to let her go
I was thinking the same thing as that. I was like, okay, she seems not crazy, especially since they've made this whole thing about the souls that are inside of the Phoenix Stone are trapped there, almost like an accelerated prison world of sorts. Like, it seems like bad people get stuck in this stone. So then you have Florence who comes out of it who seems like a nice, sweet lady who's just trying to figure out her life and fit into this new world. So I was kind of confused where she came from.
Is there a specific way that they're putting the vampire souls into this Phoenix Stone?
We'll probably find that out, I think. But I think there must be a specific way they get into that specific stone.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was, in the comments on YouTube said that, what if Catherine's soul is in there?
Good. Ugh. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be good.
I love that possibility because she was just sucked into something. We don't know where she went. Yeah, but Caroline Dries did say, the producer of the show, that like her character is gone forever. She said that when Catherine died. She's like, unlike other characters in the show that come back, she's gone to hell, basically.
Where she probably should be.
I think that when Caroline just said that, she said, we're not going to see this reincarnation of Catherine again. But she always left a little bit of room for that. So it could be really interesting. And also, I agree with you guys. Alaric could have gotten totally screwed. He could have had the person who took Oscar's body this body. So best case scenario for him, she was a doll. And I kind of wanted to explore that relationship, as sick and twisted as that is. Mm-hmm. It made me really uncomfortable to watch Caroline watching him, knowing what's going to happen with him and Caroline. The whole thing was just really strange.
It was very strange. But before we get too far ahead, he has to kind of watch her, and he's let her kind of wander off to this coffee shop alone where Bonnie has found her. And she's struggling with using a laptop, and some students help her kind of use WebMD, and she's trying to diagnose herself to figure out what's going on. My biggest question at this point, which they did later on explain, was that the students didn't know that Joe was dead. Yeah. Like, how did they cover up that whole mass wedding massacre? Because the student was like, oh, how was the honeymoon? You're back. Oh, that's so great to see you.
She took a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because she was in the morgue, but Alaric was paying the guy that worked at the morgue off. So possibly he was paying him off to say that Joe was still alive because he had hope. Which makes no sense, though, because he didn't know the stone existed.
Yeah, and they spent the whole summer kind of, in Europe traveling. I thought it was strange because I was like, how are they going to explain? Mm-hmm. Because they were letting this faux Joe, as she was referred to once tonight.
Faux Joe, I love it.
Yeah, I was like, I love the faux Joe. Mm-hmm. They let her kind of wander around through the town, and it's like, hey, it's a small college town. Shouldn't you be keeping her indoors so that she doesn't run into people who think that she's Joe?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Bonnie was saying. But I don't know. I was thinking the exact same thing. Since it's such a small town, how wouldn't they?
I think they were just spinning it to say it was she was on a sabbatical, because regardless if he wasn't thinking about bringing her back right away, they're not going to be able to explain very well this whole mass murdering at the wedding because it was very supernaturally.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay, I'll give you that, Katie. I guess you're right. Okay, gosh. But she starts kind of having a attack of coughing and whatnot from her body, and luckily Valerie is around to kind of give them the harsh truth.
Really blunt.
Yeah, really blunt and harsh. She's just like, oh yeah, well, that was a human body, so a vampire's soul can't handle being inside a human body, so you're dying, basically.
Can you turn them into a vampire at that point?
I don't think so, because Caroline tried to feed her blood and she started vomiting it up, which brought me to my next question about stuff that they need to explain to me. Why are humans so okay with just drinking people's blood? Like, she was like, wait, what? And then she went for it.
You got brought back from the dead, I think drinking blood is the least of your worries.
But even sometimes it's, like, normal people who get attacked or something and aren't even compelled to do it. It's just like, oh my gosh, here, my blood will save you. And people just are like, okay. And they go for it. I'm like, maybe, I would not drink someone's blood.
Maybe they're delirious at that point. They lost too much blood. Like, what are you doing? Okay.
If I felt like I was dying and someone was dripping blood in my mouth, I'm not going to lie, I would drink it. I'd probably just drink it anyways because I love this show so much. And
Gosh, I thought you were going to say because I love blood so much. I know. And I was going to be like, am I sitting here with a vampire?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we were having a conversation off camera about if you would actually choose to be a vampire or not, and Sam very quickly said she would definitely.
Of course, I would have told you guys that a million times. 100 times.
I 100% agree. I think that it's the most idiotic thing to say otherwise.
Are we all in agreement that we would be vampires?
No, Katie, you're a wolf.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like the Elena of the group who's like, okay, I'll be a vampire for a little while and then I'll want a cure because, like, living life forever just. Ugh. Kill me.
Yeah.
I feel otherwise.
You feel otherwise? Okay. I mean, I'll stick around for a couple centuries and have fun with you guys and then be like, okay, I'm ready for that cure now. Bye.
So you're going to take the one cure? You're going to be the selfish person to take the only cure?
You guys don't want it, so yeah.
Oh, are we the only... This is assuming just the five of us?
Well, no one else matters, is what I was getting at.
Just
so.
Us.
Just us.
Unless you guys at home are also vampires, and you matter.
Then we'll be the originals.
Oh, look, the five originals.
Sick and twisted.
Sick and twisted in so many ways. Okay, so they can't save poor little Florence, but she does remember her name and kind of how she died with the sword mm-hmm. being pierced. And I really, like you guys said, I really wanted to kind of go into that a little bit more. And I hope mm-hmm. that, I don't know, someone does a little digging to kind of find out more of her story, but...
It's interesting, too, that she had kind of the amnesia and it was coming back slowly, and I think the same thing is happening with Julian. So no matter, you know, if in the future anybody else comes back, they're not going to remember everything specifically at first.
What was the point of them telling us that she was stabbed with a metal sword that shouldn't have killed her? Maybe that has something to do with these vampires that go through into the stone, mm-hmm. people who died in ways that maybe shouldn't have actually killed them, so it mm-hmm. killed their body but not their soul kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting, because why? Why did we learn that about her? Why did we learn her name? Why did we learn any of that stuff? Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point. I don't know. Like, maybe she could be in some... jump into someone else's body. I'm not sure. Or we'll learn more about those type of vampires.
It has to be that you died in a different way than normal vampires are supposed to die, because then everybody else would go into there.
I always thought it was, like, a witch who did a spell, like, you...
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
the soul in there.
Well, and okay. I thought it would be, like, the bad souls,
maybe.
Too.
Yeah.
Since her soul was obviously in Joe's body, is she, like, completely gone?
I think now? So. Because it was out of the stone, so now maybe she's actually gone. But see, there's so many questions yeah. because now she's gone and we don't get answers.
And we don't get other sides either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we don't get other sides of it, but who knows? Maybe they'll use
no,
it again.
No, other side. Like, the other side. Or the other side of the story.
Yeah, other side of the story is what I was looking for. But, you know, what we do get is answers a little bit in other ways, because Caroline and Valerie are not getting along throughout the whole episode, because Caroline finds Valerie in Stefan's house, in a towel, coming downstairs, conveniently, oh. right when Caroline gets there.
Yeah, they were out of the shampoo. She did that on purpose.
Yeah, she totally did that on
Very
purpose.
Very Catherine of her, but she's not Catherine, I'm sorry. Like, but Catherine, literally, there's a scene with her in a towel with Stefan, season... 3-something, I don't know. But to me, Valerie isn't such a big deal.
She'll never be a Catherine.
I kind of love her.
I love her too, finally.
I kind of love Valerie yeah. and Nora and Mary Louise, which is so not how I felt the first week, but I don't know, all of a sudden I was feeling a little attached. I think it's because we know that Stefan and Caroline don't end up together in 3 years, so I'm starting to try to train my mind to be like, could I see this? Mm-hmm. Maybe this is what I want. I don't know. Like, I feel like they're tricking me almost into liking her.
I only like Nora. She's the only one that has grown on me.
Really?
Is it because you think she's the hottest?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably. Whoa, I didn't even think that, but maybe that is why.
Yes. Yes. You didn't even know that about yourself.
Revelations.
No, I do like her best. Though I think that
you like brunettes, I get it.
Whatever, she is the most spunk and is good present day. The other two don't belong here.
See, she's like the Regina George of the group, so maybe that's why I'm like Nora. I like her character, but like I could do without her. But so Valerie comes downstairs in the towel, and clearly Caroline, and then she reveals more, because she's like, yeah. "Oh, Stefan didn't tell you why I'm here and why I can't go home to because Julian."
And she knew very well that he didn't tell her. He could have told her on the couch right there, and Valerie was coming downstairs. She has vampire hearing, so she heard their conversation. See, Valerie was growing on me, and she still is, but I think she's manipulative with this whole situation. I don't like that about her.
She wants Stefan.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what she wants.
Well, then just be straightforward.
I think she kind of is trying to not do that. I think she's not trying to ruin Stefan's relationship, but these little bits keep coming out, because it's like, she was pregnant with his kid, she was in love with him, she took his V-card, and then she didn't get the chance to be with him because she had the crap kicked out of her, and she wasn't allowed. So now I think it's like, alright, he's happy, I'll let it go. Wait, this one little thing. You know, like, it's slipping out. So I feel for her, I do. Yeah. I feel for Caroline, too, though.
Yeah. See, I don't know that I actually like Valerie, or if I just have pity for her because of her circumstances and her past, so I think I still need a little bit more time before I judge fully on if I like her or not, because part of me right now, it's just, a pity liking of her.
Yeah, because her circumstances.
Yeah, because of her circumstances. And, yeah. But thank goodness she was around because, you know, after she was super insensitive about Alaric's situation and hears the story about how, you know, Joe was murdered with her kids inside of her, that definitely, you know, touched on her heart because she had a similar situation. Mm-hmm. And then she's watching the wedding video and realizes that the chant that the Gemini Coven was doing wasn't to send Kai to a prison world, but it was to transfer the babies away from Joe and to keep them safe so that the Gemini Coven could live on.
So where's Kai?
Dead. Because he got bitten by the werewolf. Okay. And
oh, but there was something about that, though. They briefly mentioned Kai, and it made me think first, like, I'm going to need to rewatch it tomorrow, but it made me think that he could possibly, his spirit still could be somewhere.
Well, what I thought they were going to say wasn't about the twins. I thought they were going to say the chant was to put Kai inside the stone, and that we were going to find out that Kai's soul was now in Julian.
Ooh, I was thinking something.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Oh.
But it didn't. It's about the babies. They're alive. Yes! Sorry, that was weird.
I think Julian's got to be Julian because of the way that he woke up and said Lily and, yeah. Yeah, and that recognition. But the whole thing about the chant, I'm going to give it to them because they get their creative liberties. But I think that that was just the luckiest circumstance. Like, they were fishing at anything there. Any sort of loopholes to be like, all right, I guess we want these kids back in the picture. How can we do this? And they were like, oh, that this is the way to do it. So I'll give it to them, but I doubt that full thing was planned.
It's, oh, yeah, that definitely couldn't have been planned to keep the kids around.
Right.
But, I mean, it works for the circumstances. And so they do the advanced locator spell with Alaric's blood to kind of track the kids. And they know that the map will set fire once it's found its home. And the blood just trickles straight over to Caroline, pool of blood. And then she reaches down to touch it and poof. So the babies are inside of Caroline.
I have a. This is something that I've been thinking. Obviously, we see, you know, how that's Alaric's fiance. But do you guys think that they're together just because she had the babies, or do you think they actually like do maybe find some love?
I think
in that relationship. Maybe, it's just so weird. It's just that relationship is so weird.
I think maybe it's gonna slowly maybe start a relationship because Alaric's gonna be sad about this whole Joe thing, and then whatever's going to happen with Stefan and Val is going to break Caroline's heart, and they're just going to find comfort in each other. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's convenient because she's pregnant with his kids, and yeah, it's just going to kind of happen. I'm not sure, though, even 3 years from now, that's what's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. It could be Stefan later on for Caroline.
The way that Damon phrased, "When's the last time you talked to her?" Mm-hmm. made me believe, like, there wasn't anything. It wasn't like they were madly yeah. in love. It was like circumstantially they had to get married for X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still feel like something has happened here that forced a lot of these relationships and forced Stefan and Caroline to not be together for maybe a reason that even Caroline doesn't know, because Stefan was trying to protect her. Because what we hear in the flashback, or in the flash forward also, is that Stefan's being hunted, and it's only a matter of time before they start using Caroline to draw him out. And then you see her on the newscast saying, "I have a message for Stefan." Mm-hmm. Salvatore, with the blood dropping down her face. So in my opinion, I think that she still does hold something important in Stefan's heart. So that's why whoever's hunting him knows that she can be used as leverage, because they're still in love and she doesn't even understand why they're not together.
So they're not together because he's protecting her for some reason. Yes. That she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the Alaric and Caroline thing is just a platonic. Mm-hmm. That's really how I feel about it. And I think that, you know, the fact that when they spoke to Stefan in that scene and then they spoke to Caroline, like, the first thing that was brought up was Caroline, Stefan. Like, those are the people that really, like, gets each of them, like, going. And, yeah, I think they're for sure still a thing, but they're apart for safety.
I'm unwilling to believe that Alaric and Caroline fall in love, because I think that it's gross.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
I know that's a mean thing to say, but I think that it would be gross for the writers to do that. So I'm unwilling to believe it.
I've seen him as, like, a father figure this whole time.
To everyone.
To everyone. Yeah. So it's just a little, I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah. I don't want it to go there.
I don't either.
It feels disrespectful to the show to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's what we did.
Yeah, and one of my biggest issues, though, is that, like, you know, Candace Aquila's pregnancy, they have gotten away. Like, Kerry Washington in Scandal was pregnant. They did not write it into her character, and she was the most important one. I don't want a storyline to just come from it because she's pregnant in real life. That, to me, is not Vampire Diaries-esque. They're smarter than that.
Well, maybe they were smarter than that, and they had it planned all along, and it just is convenient that she's pregnant.
I don't know about that, but I preferred writing in a storyline for it because I hate when TV shows go to do the traditional, like, oh, I'm sitting on a couch with a pillow in front of my lap so that you can't see my pregnancy belly. Oh, I'm standing behind this big counter right here so you can't tell the difference. I just think that that's treating the audience like they're idiots because they don't know what's happening. So I'd rather the pregnancy just be out there for us to see and acknowledge and it not be the elephant in the room.
See, I don't mind that. Put them behind the counter. Mm-hmm. Okay, good job. That's the magic of film. You hide that baby.
If it messes with the storyline of the entire show, which is 7 seasons long at this point, then hide it.
Well, they're going to have to do something, right? Because the pregnancy is like, you know, 9 months and what... This story is going to go a little faster, so they might be altering it a little bit.
How far along is she?
In real life?
Yeah. At Comic-Con, they knew.
Yeah.
So, and that was in July, and you don't usually tell people until you're at least, what, 3 months?
She's probably, like, 6 months, you think?
Probably, like, 6 or 7 months.
When she filmed this?
When she filmed this? They probably filmed this, like...
She's not even showing, not even close to showing in this yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess she has a couple more months.
Which could explain why, because we've been talking about how the kids kind of maybe look like they were older than 3 years. So if she has an accelerated pregnancy, maybe the babies grow at a faster rate or something.
Yeah, and, you know, dealing with the actual, because there are some awesome comments in here about how she's dead, Caroline, she can't hold a baby, but maybe the pregnancy is accelerated. It's very Twilight-esque, like many of you say, which is very true, but we'll see what happens. Maybe Vampire Diaries will have their own take on it.
I kind of wish, I mean, obviously we see the babies are in Caroline, but I kind of wish we maybe would have seen the pregnancy in someone else, just because it's like
too easy.
It's just like, okay, because she's pregnant, but it's just kind of like, why, you know?
I feel like it has to do with because of maybe she was still at the wedding ceremony, so it was like maybe the spell was like up in the air and then it just grabbed onto the closest living thing, and
that's
it was
what I think,
type of thing.
But, just random.
But when Joe originally died, or just now when Joe came back, the babies are still in there, and Caroline's, that's why she's standing there watching.
Had to have been when she originally died.
Yeah, because they did the spell.
So you think she's been pregnant for a month and didn't know?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you not hear the heartbeats?
That's true.
Maybe there's a spell that has to kind of trigger.
I have a hard time believing a vampire wouldn't be able to feel the sensation of being pregnant. Mm-hmm. If a vampire were to get pregnant, I think that they would feel that.
I'm saying maybe, like, the seeds are in there and it's laying dormant right now. And then Valerie's going to have to do something to, like, be like, okay, abracadabra, shazam, babies are growing again. And, you know, it's just in there and it could stay idle for ages because you never know what it's going to go inside of until it's found.
She's a surrogate without being asked to be a surrogate.
It's
right
Jane
now.
The Virgin, guys. Yeah. That's what it's here, except she's not a virgin.
Yeah, definitely not a virgin.
Definitely. Okay, so we can talk about this baby and what's going to happen for ages, but we should just keep watching the show because I'm sure they're going to explain it all to us anyways. So Lily decides to have this dinner party to welcome Julian back into the world and to show that we can all live a peaceful, happy life in Mystic Falls, coexisting with the other residents.
Oh, now that she has everything she wanted.
Okay. Katie's face right now.
I know.
You guys, Esther season, what was it, 3? 2? Remember that party that they had? With the, you know, all the originals were there and Esther was reawakened.
So it must have been 3. Were the originals in season 2?
No, season 3. It was season 3. Yeah. And then Esther calls Elena to kind of, like, do the thing. But it reminded me of a very similar scene. But because...
So basically, Sam's point is the Vampire Diaries needs to come up with some original storyline.
Yes.
Because you're repeating a lot of stuff right now. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm confused.
I thought we were talking about the originals. That's why I said season 2. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm really confused as to, like, what Lily was thinking. Did she really think that this was really going to be, like, a peace party? Because you're inviting Bonnie and everyone, and obviously they don't want him to be there, but it's just like, do you really? And she's trying to be nice.
Jordana, she's delusional. Yeah. She's completely delusional. I absolutely think she believed that. I think she was like, this is the peace party. We have villains. I'm going to invite everybody over. Totally chill. She is so delusional that it's scary.
Yeah.
And we know that she's more delusional than malicious because we see her save her sons tonight, mm-hmm. which was clearly trying to tell the audience something.
And she's been delusional for a while about her family and their true nature because she's in denial about Julian's true nature and who he really is. She's in denial. She's basically forcing her children to, you know, make pacts that they're not going to attack anybody here. That's against their nature, which they clearly are. They're like, Lily's keeping us on really tight strings right now.
It's interesting that Julian is making them push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Well, do you really think Julian even loves her?
No.
Like,
he was kissing other women when he was spying on Stefan. He had a kiss booth, remember? 2 cents a kiss.
Right.
Cheap kiss.
I, in my mind, I'm just trying to think, like, what his plan is.
It's not to be with Lily, and, like, that was very clearly shown with Mary Louise.
I think he's just a straight-up ripper and wants to have the best time and make everybody go crazy and party and run. Like, I don't think he has a plan, like, I'm in love with this one person and I'm going to go find them. I just think he's a bad dude.
Well, he's got something hidden in his past because back when we did learn about what happened with Valerie, he said, you have your reasons for staying and I have my reasons for leaving. Like, he looked like he needed to get out on that train and go.
And
like,
there's
he
was running
the car situation.
Yeah.
There was something in the car.
There's something that Oscar had on him that he hasn't been able to find tonight. He's looking for the car. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was something we knew about. I was like,
I don't think so.
Whatever it is, he needs it bad. And then you have Stefan over here plotting to kill him at this thing tonight because Stefan's pissed off that he killed his unborn child, that he's having these sweet dreams about, you know, being a father with Jacob and 11-year-olds teaching him how to shoot in the woods and stuff. Like,
do you think maybe, like, I mean, yes, we do know the real story that Julian is a bad guy and he did something terrible to Valerie and Valerie was carrying Stefan's child, but Stefan just believes Valerie and he's just taking that. Is it just because he was wanting a son? Is he taking that and fueling as the reason why he just wants Julian dead and he hears this one story and it's true?
I just think what reason would Valerie have to lie to Stefan right now? She would have just said, no, I never loved you. I don't think she would have made this up. So that's why I think he believes her. He has no reason to question him. Not only do we know that he's a bad guy from that, but we also see what he does tonight to Mary Louise, and he's just always trying to push people and push the boundaries, and also what he does to Stefan and Damon. It was so interesting. Stefan and Damon, the tables were turned. Damon's the rash one. He's like, let's do it now. But watching the opposite of that was interesting.
But Damon's also kind of a dark soul because his reasoning for wanting to wait was a little twisted. It's like, hey, let's let her get a taste of the life and think that everything's fine. And then 6 months from now, we're going to show up with his head like at her doorstep and really rip out her heart. That's
horrible idea. Because you don't know what he's going to be able to, you know, get acquainted to this life and what he's going to be able to do and what life is going to be like in 6 months. I was on Stefan's side. I was like, let's get this.
When are you not on Stefan's side?
I was kind of on Damon's side a little bit. Maybe not 6 months, but, you know, she is the reason why Elena is now tied to Bonnie. Mm-hmm. She's the reason why he's not going to get to see her forever. So I can see where in his mind he wants her to suffer equally, and taking Julian away from her so quickly isn't going to be as satisfying as doing it a little bit down the road after he's acclimated and they're living in the lap of luxury. But I mean, Julian's also psycho and going batshit on her, so they might never get to that place.
I just thought it was so strange that Damon wanted to play the long game on this one and Bonnie was like, Elena would be proud of you. What? This is really gross.
Yeah. He's got nothing but time because he's just.
Yeah, but why would she be proud? Why would that make her proud? Yes, you dug the dagger even deeper. You go, honey.
Because he could change. Because he could change his mind 6 months from now.
Okay, I know. This is denial, Sam, again, and like I know that she's not coming back anytime soon. But I'm just saying, as far as loopholes are concerned with this show, the way they're writing it, I feel as though, you know, that, like, I don't know. She could still kind of come back because now that they know that Lily's the one that did this, that convinced him, maybe she knows a way to undo it. She's so powerful.
My favorite thing is that you live by Julie and Caroline's words. Like, you, you like, live by that. You'll pull up quotes that they said years ago, but they have point blank, and all of them have been like, she is not coming back, and you're like, I hear you, but I don't believe you. Like, no, I love it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's cute. We love your optimism.
I feel you. I want you to be right.
I'll show you all.
It's just not going to be this season. You can't have that big grand exit and then come back. That's just thirsty.
It's embarrassing for Nina DeBrett if that were to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like how Chris... Never mind. That's the wrong show. but so, Stefan and Julian have... Or Stefan attacks Julian, finally, after, you know, getting... After getting Matt involved.
Matt Vervain's Damon... But Matt, oh my God, you're in the episode tonight.
With his own drink. With his own drink.
Yeah, with his own drink. He did a couple things in tonight's episode.
All right, guys, stand up. We'll get you out of here now.
Yeah.
That was the most we heard from Matt.
That was the most.
Well, someone on the chat said something really funny. They were like, what was Matt's real purpose in this episode besides helping? They were like, he's bored. He needs to dress up and look good for us.
Listen, what's been his purpose?
Listen, like, he's the deputy. Yeah. He needs to know what's going on. He's trying.
Somebody earlier in the chat also said, please, dear God, don't let Matt die alone. Like, give him a woman. I think it's time again. We need a love interest.
What do you guys think about him and Nora?
Valerie!
I like Nora. I can see
Nora's a lesbian.
Nora seems like she's down with the getting down, if you know what
also,
I mean.
Why is Nora...
She's chew him up and spit him out.
Well, she was kind of like, she's like, let's go.
She was kind of flirty with him.
Yeah.
And,
really?
I mean, after cool. I mean, she did attack him and, you know, almost kill him.
It's like
first,
Rebecca
but that's like,
and Matt. Remember that?
I love that.
He likes those really scary, terrifying, beautiful women.
Yeah, he hates monsters, but he also is in love with the monster. Mm-hmm. You know,
Stefan told Matt to take Bonnie and get out of here somewhere safe, and they did not go anywhere safe.
I mean, they went to the high school where the waiter had been talking about. I have to get to the high school, and then there's a room full of children there with IVs.
What's up with the blood
bag? So they're totally confused.
No, they're not blood. It's like a banana boat. It's like the IV drip. Like, it's keeping them hydrated and alive because they're not eating right now.
But I'm assuming that they're being used as blood bags.
Yeah.
Oh, like
isn't that the blood that they're drinking?
Yeah.
Heretics.
I'm assuming it's a human blood bag is what I'm saying. No, they're not putting blood into.
Yeah, I was like, that's not blood. That's
no,
keeping them
they
alive.
Are the blood bags. That's keeping them alive. And because they said tonight, Matt was like, why would you want to stay in a town? Don't you need to, this town, don't you need to eat? And that's how they're eating. But it's kind of messed up because who is putting them there? Lily would have to know about that if that was all the heretics.
Yeah.
And so then when they talk about the plan tonight and she says we got to make sure everybody else is down with the plan, is that relevant to this? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but...
No, the plan is we see in the previews like that they're linking the two of them.
Yeah.
But then also has to be something to do with all those people, because I also don't think you need all those people, and if Lily wants to live in a society where everyone's there and getting along, you can't have a room full of 30 people who are just your human blood bank.
Maybe it's Nora that's doing that, because she seems to do whatever she wants, and the others kind of hold back. Beau holds back, Mary Louise is held back until tonight when Julian pushed her, but maybe Nora's doing something behind Lily's back.
I could see that one.
I hope so.
I could see that happening, too. But Stefan's plan doesn't go exactly according to plan. He attacks Julian, and Julian gets set on fire. Lily comes in, and then Julian isn't on fire and is completely fine.
And super powerful.
And super powerful. So do you think he's some sort of
crazy puncher? I've never seen somebody punch these vampires and have them actually get hurt. He was just kind of, like, using his fist.
Now we see how Valerie got all...
Yeah,
messed up from him.
Stefan needed to have a better plan. Like, I get we need to have Julian around because he's part of the story, but
you know, he had this great plan to kill him, and he just didn't do a good job. I was on his side, too.
Well, that's because Stefan and Damon weren't working together, and that is what pissed me off about this episode, that they each had their own plans, and I was like, Stefan should have told Damon right away when he knew what was going on.
Well, yeah, and Damon was trying to let Julian know, which I thought was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Wait, totally irrelevant to what you guys are talking about, but in the chat right now, I want to read it before I forget. Athy says, I think Damon might be put in the stone because he was in the coffin. And fast forward. So, maybe, do we think that they figured out a way to put him in there, or somebody put him in there? Or,
but
wasn't he daggered?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was daggered, right? But whatever the case, he woke up saying, I told nobody to disturb me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until, like, he chose to do that.
Yeah, okay. No, Athia, now I'm finding a plot hole.
It's a good thought, though. You never know what they're going to do about it. Julian kind of snaps, though, and has, like, this psychotic blind rage, and he starts telling them about living in the stone and how every day was his personal hell of him waking up because every day he would go to murder Lily, basically, and that no harm would ever come to their mom, but, you know.
Why didn't Florence have any of this stuff? I just feel like it kind That's of exacerbates who you are in there. Well, like, the more you are, the...
Maybe she was put in there by mistake, because she was the only one who was not evil.
I just keep feeling like we're going to hear more about her, because they don't set up that much with all the holes just to... do nothing with it.
And they have amnesia because either they have amnesia, they all have it, and they slowly get it back, or they just have it when they're in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. So she's not really fully aware of all of her stories, and maybe she was evil, but she's starting to slowly remember things because she was in Joe's body, although now that's not going to happen because she's dead.
But I just have a question about Julian continuously trying to kill Lily. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, what is that about?
I'm sorry, I'm confused. I thought he was at least pretending to be in love with her. Why does he say that?
Because that would be his hell. I think that's kind of like that he was killing her, and that was devastating because he would never actually do that or something. Maybe he was trying to spin it like that, and he really loves her, and...
I still don't think he likes it.
I mean, I think that was kind of to be his point of, like, he is in love. I think that part of him does love Lily, but like he said to her afterwards, I don't know, you're not the woman that I fell in love with. Mm-hmm. Who are you? The woman who I knew had moved on from her children. Now you're trying to protect them. They attacked me. It seems like back in the day, if someone attacked him, they would both go after them and the person would not be alive.
Yeah, and I saw Sam wrote down that quote. What did she say? Lily said back to him after he said all that, like, they don't respect you. She said something like, I don't want to kill my kids.
She said, maybe I'm, you know, this version of me doesn't want to kill my kids. But wait a second, you didn't want to kill them back in the day.
She says, I don't want to see my kids
She
dead.
Said, this version has no desire to see her children dead, and if you have a problem with that, then we have a problem.
But she never
that
really...
was the most, that's the strongest she's ever stood up for her kids her entire life.
And I was so happy about it, because that's like, it's messed me up that she hasn't cared about them.
I think deep down, though, she has, and I think it's finally coming out more, but back then, she sent people to check on her sons. If she really didn't care, she'd either not check on them, or she'd kill them back then. I think she's always somehow cared, and she's just suppressing it, but it's coming out more and more.
I think she always cared about her kids, and that's why she sent them to get checked on in the first place. But I think that whatever Julian had planned and whatever they were going to Europe to do, she needed to know that her kids were okay so that she could put it in the back of her mind to do whatever they needed to do and get it done.
Also, something that I noticed was, like, this is the first time I saw a facial expression from Lily towards Stefan and Damon. Like, we've never seen that. She's always been so, you know, emotionless. And now, like, when she saw Julian attacking them, we actually saw some emotion in there. And I mean, I
think that was great,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're running low on time. So we have to talk about this Enzo and Bonnie situation, guys. Because, I
Benzo.
Mean...
Benzo!
Benzo! All right, guys. I was just going to say their names. You know... But separate first.
Someone, I mean, there's Benzo has already been coined.
But then somebody said it was Bonenzo, too. I like Benzo better. Like Benzo.
Isn't Benzo like a drug?
Yeah, it's a type of...
Painkiller?
No. Benzos are a type of medicine. Like, you classify different things. Benzos have a lot of different meds that are under them.
Okay.
Got it. Oh. Okay, so last week we see in the flash forward that they're together, which I'm so sad I was not here to talk about that together. I think they're super cute together. I like it. Mm. But then at the party tonight, they showed up at the same time, and Enzo's like, if anyone asks, you're my date. And then, you know, Bonnie comes over and is fixing his tie to make Lily jealous, and they have that deep stare into each other's eyes. And I was like, oh my gosh, my heart's a flutter. My loins are, like, gurgling right now.
This is chemistry. Why Baymon was never a thing, because Bonnie wasn't that sexy self of hers with him. Like, this, even the fixing the tie, she got that Bonnie sexy spunk going on. And I was like, yes, Bon. I never thought this would be something that I was rooting for. I'm all in.
I'm all in,
too. I'm all in.
I love
it. I got butterflies just watching that, and I haven't been excited to see a new couple until I saw them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like it because Enzo needs someone like Bonnie to help him just stay a good person. Because Enzo is a good person. Mm-hmm. He just feels so left out that he makes bad choices and bad decisions. And I think that if someone is to actually come in and care and help him feel like he's worth something, that he's going to stay a good boy.
And Bonnie needs to have worth, too, other than just helping everybody else.
She needs to find love. She deserves it, too. I like that he told her what he heard, that Julian said, you know, he needed to get something from Oscar's car. I like that he's just, here it is, here's this information. Because Bonnie's obviously on our side.
Yeah, well, but that's what worries me about this relationship with Bonnie and Enzo, is that he could easily turn her to a darker side just as easily as she could turn him to a lighter side.
And I don't Bonnie's know. Strong,
she wasn't though. Like a, yeah. She wasn't like a... at some sort of center in that flash forward, so who knows what.
Yeah, she is this one going on.
I gotta tell you what the truth of the matter is, and everybody in the chat is saying it too. They just look so hot together.
They do.
Like, it was just sexy, the whole thing. And it was like, I root for sexy. I just do sometimes.
I root for hashtag I root for sexy. That's
yes.
Ship that's sexy. The whole thing. Ship sexy. Okay, and then Nora and Mary Louise, we've touched on them, but tonight Nora, again, was kind of treating Mary Louise like a dirty spawn and like, ew, that's what you're going to wear to greet people. And
it was kind of sexy, though. It was like that white lace. It was.
I thought it was a cute outfit. I thought she looked like she was part of the times and that, you know, it worked for her. But
she always has a problem with the way she dresses. I'm still confused. Is it just because Nora's now, like, super hip and gets the whole thing that she just doesn't like that Mary Louise is still, like, kind of...
Well, she doesn't need to be rude about it. I think she's being a little rude.
She's being really rude about it.
And I feel bad for Mary Louise in that sense, but I also don't know if I like her with spunk because I think she's just dangerous. Mm-hmm. I think she's just going to start acting on impulse now, and that Mary Louise is scary. And
Because that's what Julian told her to do, and she fed on that maid and then went and got her woman and was like, come with me now. So
I think there's a reason why Mary Louise has been somewhat suppressed, because she's probably a terror.
Yeah.
They're all rippers. This is a group of rippers. Once we bring out the ripper side of them, they're probably really bad. Same thing with Stefan.
Lily was a ripper, right? We learned that years ago.
All of these people, her whole family, it's a family of rippers.
Family of rippers, and we shall see what they get ripping into next week.
Ooh, good segue.
So let's get into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So in the preview, we see that it's Thanksgiving, another dinner party is happening after this last one went so well, but this time the Salvatore brothers are hosting, and it seems that we learn Lily has linked herself to Julian because in tonight's episode, he tells her he wants some assurance because he knows that her sons are going to come after him again. Mm-hmm. So now linking them together, I'm not actually sure that was a smart idea because they could give a rat's ass if their mom dies, I feel like, sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah, it's a Thanksgiving, what did Damon say, like, gift or miracle or something that that would happen? Because it's just kill two birds with one stone.
I think that Stefan is going to tell Lily about what happened, and that Lily is actually going to be on Team Stefan and Team Valerie. And she's going to want him to die, but she already linked herself.
I can see that, but I feel like she might not believe it at first a little bit.
Yeah,
like she might, right?
We have to coerce her.
Yeah.
Another not even quite prediction, but somebody in the chat just mentioned Jeremy, who I completely forgot about, which just shows how little I ever cared about Bonnie and Jeremy's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was anybody sitting there thinking, oh, poor Jeremy?
No.
I was a little bit.
See, I thought of Jeremy, but I don't think that Jeremy and Bonnie had as much, like, sexual tension as Bonnie and Enzo
do
right here.
We just met them together, guys. We don't know.
But the chemistry is there. They're just a hot couple.
Jeremy's a boy, Enzo is a man.
Yeah, he is such a man.
Yeah, he's a man.
With that hot American slash British accent. God. Like, come on.
I don't know. I think that, you know, next week we see that Lily has some reservations, which is so stupid that she were to tie herself to Julian. So, and then it seemed like they told us already that she's going to have reservations about it. And that happens quickly. So that's going to happen. I think Caroline and Stefan are going to, like, drift away.
I mean, they still haven't been on a date yet, so I guess we'll see, Jordana.
I agree with Roxy, though. I feel like Mama Salvatore is going to probably turn good. I want to see that, but I don't know.
I hope she does.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you guys at home let us know what you think. Thank you so much to everyone who's in our YouTube live chat role right now and who's been tweeting us all week about everything. And where can people find you guys online?
You guys can find me on Twitter at @KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13 and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I have a vlog and I put out a new video yesterday and Monday, and I have new videos every week.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and online at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Jordana_Morfin.
You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer, and I just started over at Screen Junkies, going live on Tuesdays at 4 p.m.
Yay! And I'm at the Tiana Hobson, and you can find all of AfterBuzz TV stuff at AfterBuzz TV. And come back in 1 hour. We'll be back with the Originals After Show, and we'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.